2013 was a big year in Southeast Asia, particularly on the political stage. 2014 promises to be no different. In Myanmar, the government's struggling to resolve ethnic tensions as it continues to reform, while Indonesians will head to the polls to choose a new president. In Thailand, President Yingluck Shinawatra's decision to call a snap election has failed to end demonstrations by those who believe she is a puppet of her exiled brother and former PM, Thaksin Shinawatra. Professor John Blaxland from the ANU's College of Asia and the Pacific says there's real danger of the violence in Thailand, of that violence worsening. And he's speaking to Breakfast's Tim Skelton.
It's interesting because Suthep Thoksaban, who was a prominent minister in the former government, that was instrumental in the May 2010 suppression of the red shirts, is now a leading advocate for so-called reform measures in Bangkok. He's leading a group called the People's Democratic Reform Committee, but it seems to be less so much about democracy or reform as about a group of elites seeking to undertake a revolution, in effect, in Thailand's political system. The problem is that the overwhelming majority of Thais like Thaksin. They like his sister, Yingluck Shinawatra. So the Democrats, the so-called Democrats, led by Suthep at the moment, in the streets of Bangkok, are pushing for reform against a man who clearly has done wrong. He has broken laws. He has overstepped the bounds of what most people consider reasonable, and yet in response, the Democrats are also overstepping the bounds of what is considered reasonable. So we are heading down the path of probable bloodshed, increased bloodshed in the time ahead. One thing that may lead to a significant change in the dynamics is the death of the king. Now, we know that the king is an octogenarian, he is frail, he is adored by the Thai people, but that is not what one could say about his likely successors. And this opens up a Pandora's box of problems for the Thai state. There's significant uncertainty as to how things will unfold once the king passes away.
So just looking at Myanmar now, Myanmar's seen some, you know, rapid transformation over the past 2 years, but the issue of ethnic conflicts in particular remains unresolved. What are really the key challenges for the government in 2014?
2014 is a year of the chairmanship of ASEAN for Myanmar. This is a crowning achievement for the regime. This is something they have been striving for over a decade. They have finally achieved it. They're very proud of that. They'll be keen to hold on and suppress any efforts by ethnic groups or religious groups to upset the apple cart, to undermine the glory, if you like, for the government in Naypyidaw, the new capital, as they hold the chair of ASEAN. So the other thing, apart from chairmanship of ASEAN, is the fact that they've got preparations for the 2015 elections coming up. They want to have a semblance of unity. And remember that this is a country that is quite fractious and has for a long time held fears of balkanization. And this is one of the reasons why the military is so strong in the country. They recognize the centrality of power, of military power, to holding this country together, and that is going to be an enduring feature in the time ahead.
And just on Aung San Suu Kyi, and one of the issues where she has been criticised is the issue of ethnic conflict and maybe not speaking out as strongly as some people felt she should. What are the challenges for her and her party looking ahead to those elections in 2015?
Well, that's a good question. The NLD, Aung San Suu Kyi's party, is essentially a party for the Burmans. And we've got to remember that she is now an MP. She has her own electorate, and it is Burman. It is not Rohingya. It is not Kachin. It is not Karen. It is not some other ethnic group. They are local Burmans, and they are not inclined to be sympathetic towards those outlying ethnic and religious minorities of the country. So she has her own power base, and she has to reconcile competing priorities as she seeks to act as a unifying leading figure for the country.
Just looking across at Indonesia now, that's another country that will be choosing a president in 2014. Who are the likely contenders to replace Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono?
Well, look, it's an interesting field in Indonesia. It's very important for Australia, obviously. But there's one guy, Joko Widodo, who's the mayor of Jakarta, I should say, known as Jokowi. He is clearly the most charismatic figure. He is associated with the PDIP, party of Megawati Sukarnoputri, who herself is the daughter of the great initial, the founding president, Sukarno. So the lineage there is strong. But Megawati has been known to be reluctant to give Jokowi too much limelight, if you like. So there's still some uncertainty there about Jokowi and how he'll stand and whether or not he'll get all the backing he needs. Then there are some other interesting options out there. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, he's part of the PD, Party Demokrasi. They haven't nominated an alternative. And so in the absence of that, some other figures like Prabowo Subianto, a former general, special forces general, with a clouded reputation from the past, is another potential leader. But no one thinks he can win outright, so he'd have to form some kind of coalition. And then there is a former General Wiranto as well, who is known famous in Australia for being the commander of the Indonesian military during the crisis in East Timor in 1999. These are people who have an axe to grind against Australia. These are people who have not necessarily been all that well disposed to us, given how we have slighted them in the past. The actions of Australia over the last 12 months, 24 months, have appeared arrogant, undermined the good work that was done in the years after the intervention in East Timor, following the Bali bombings, the Jakarta bombings, the Aceh tsunami, when Australian support was really welcomed and made a significant contribution that led us to, in 2006, sign the Lombok Treaty with Indonesia. We have some ground to make up today.
That's Professor John Blaxland from the ANU's College of Asia and the Pacific, and he's speaking there to RN Summer Breakfast's Tim Skelton.